Yo, yo, what is going on, you guys? It is your girl here, Simply T, Double E Poetry, daughter of the late, great James, and of the living and giving Lisa L. And welcome to another episode of the Paradigm Shift Combo, a show created to spark interest and conversation on societal norms, and in most cases, challenges relevance and agenda. The idea of shifting the paradigm is considered rebellious or brash, but in the spoken word open mic communities in which I dwell, this disruption is not only common, but required. Hi, I'm Simply T Poetry, a combat veteran stumbling back into civilian life with a probationary opinion and a handcuffed tongue, excited to freely speak about whatever the hell I want. This is a Paradigm Shift Combo. Yo, yo, you guys, what is going on? It is your girl here, Simply T Double E Poetry, and I just am super excited for another day of the Paradigm Shift Combo, because I have something special in store for you guys, and this guest is amazing. But before I get into all that is about to happen, I kind of just want to take the time to talk to you guys, to set the scene for the interview, and more importantly, talk shit, speak my mind, be opinionated, you know, all that jazz, because that's what I'm good at. So we're going to talk about today, and by we, I mean me, just a little bit about how I feel the world is as the paradigm and the shift in which I wish to take place in it. And I know it's just I'm one person and I have one opinion and it's my one thought, but I feel like it's important, it's necessary, and fucking required, just like my introduction says. And one of the things I want to discuss, which is really big, and is something that I hate to even correlate with, is the millennial ideologies and today's society. Because with everything social media, it's not a generational fault of theirs. It's just a generational issue of theirs. And by theirs, I mean our, because technically I'm a millennial. But the thing is, what we have created is this 60-second, 120-character mindset. And everything is microwavably fixable and ready. And that's the society that we live in. As an older millennial, do I blame the millennials for having this thought process and feeling this way? Absolutely not. Because when I get on Instagram, I see Insta-famous people. Like, that's really a fucking word in today's society. Insta-famous, okay? So with the thought of that, growing up knowing that I could potentially be Insta-famous, that's what we get to see. And we get to see these 10-year-olds who have cookie companies that become million-dollar industries. And I think that's amazing. I love what social media has the ability to do. But the only problem I have is that what it doesn't capture is the billions of 10-year-olds that cook baked cookies and are not Insta-famous, or the billions of women who have beautiful pictures on Instagram that are not Insta-famous. It's just like how it's always been. When we think about football players or baseball players or basketball players, the number of people that get picked to do these sports are one in fucking however many foreverness. But all we see is the ones that make it. You don't see all the failures, right? You don't see all the people who didn't make it, who tried, who wanted to, who put their heart into it. And something that, if you've never seen the Killer Mike special, you need to watch it because it's amazing. But his first episode, that's exactly what he talks about. He talks about how we as a society, like, oh, you want to be president? Yeah, that's amazing. But you need to get a skill. You need to get something you can do and you can be good at and you can make money at right now, with the intentions of your dreams becoming successful enough to pay your bills. But what we have right now in society is these young adults wanting these things and not doing anything in the process. They are literally
banking off of their passion, ambition, will, and drive. And although those things are definitely something you need to have in your back pocket, they are not everything you need to have in your back pocket. And despite how good and well you are, it doesn't mean you'll be successful. And there's not enough social media platforms that they can produce for you to be. And I think that's super important for us to address as a culture, as a society, because we are consistently telling our children, you can be whatever you want to be. And that's a beautiful thing. But in the process, you need to be something that people want right now. Period. I'm not saying don't follow your dreams. I'm saying take care of your family, take care of yourself, and don't starve yourself in the hopes of becoming the next big rapper. And despite your amazing talent, ability, and all that, you still might not make it. And I don't want you to lose out on life from following your dream. I want you to have a successful life, and I want you to have your dream. Like, you need to balance both. We need to balance both. And I feel like that's not something that's being taught or being shown, and it's annoying to say the least. But what I love about the guest that I have coming to the show today is he is a prime example of that. And I'll get into that later with him. But it's just so important for you to just hone in and mold your talent. Like, take that thing by the neck, you know what I'm saying? And just massage it until that thing sing like you want it to, you feel me? Because when you do that, that is what remains unstoppable. It don't matter how much of a viral video you can have. What matters is that you can withstand past it. And that's what I want you guys to hone in on in this conversation I'm going to have today, is how important it is to be for longevity versus the 60-second viral video, the 120 dope character meme that you can create. That's not what's important. What's important is taking your talent by the fucking throat and choking it until she sings the song that everybody wants to hear. So check out this interview that I have with this amazing guest, you guys. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss it. He has done movies, he has done film, he has done songwriting, he has taught people how to sing that now are Grammy award-winning artists. So you guys, please stay tuned for all that is the Paradigm Shift Convo. And remember, ship. Oh! Baby, does he do it for you? When he's finished, does he step back in and adore you? I just gotta know. Does your time is money and I won't let him waste it? Oh, no, no. Oh! Baby, just go with. With me, I can't explain it. It's just different. We can take it slow. Or act like you're my girl. Let's skip the basics. Whoa, oh, 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 no.
just like mine.
Welcome back to the Paradigm Shift Combo. It is your girl, Simply T Poetry, and I have a treat for you today inside of the studio. You guys, I don't even, like, I'm breathless to begin to speak about all the accolades that is sitting before me. In any event, I'm going to do my very best to make sure I get this right because it is a monster of a resume in front of me, all in one person. So let me begin by first telling you that it is a vocal director for platinum-selling and Grammy Award-winning artists. He's been teaching private lessons for over 10 years and has done vocal silence for punk to pop and R&B and gospel. So you guys, I am super excited and honored to have with me today Mr. Molly B. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm super, super grateful and excited to talk about all that you are and all that you are destined to be. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, it's my pleasure to be here. That intro was phenomenal, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
I love that. I mean, and so yeah, I mean, you know, it started with music for me. And so it's always been teaching others how to maximize their vocal growth is kind of what I did for the last like 15 years. And I think that just stemmed from my mom. She was a vocal coach coming up and we had no choice in the house but to learn everything about the voice. We had no choice. And so, you know, coming out to LA after I graduated high school, it was just, it just made sense, you know.
So when you say your mom, because obviously we all grow up and if you have parents or whoever over you is, we kind of fall into what they're doing. Like it's,
right.
You know, no, this is what you're going to do.
Right.
So
right, right.
I'm singing, so you're going to learn to sing. Right. Was that kind of how it was or more for you? Was it like, I like doing this?
No, I mean, at first, it was like you didn't even think about whether you liked it or not. It was mom had
did.
A belt in hand, and you're
right.
gonna learn and fall in line. So it was like we were doing. You know, I have seven brothers and sisters, so we were a choir. You know, and so we did Christmas shows, you know, and concerts and holiday concerts and whatever else, and we had no choice. And then learning the voice, that was just a gift that she developed, a talent she developed, and she wanted to pass that on to us. And for me growing up, as soon as I was done with high school and moved out, I was like, oh, I'm never doing this again. Now you can't tell me what to do. I'm not teaching voice or whatever. And I come out to LA and I'm working with other artists or, I'm singing myself and as an artist and I'm helping other artists. And I realize my skill set of being able to teach voice, it was just second nature. I just knew how to help them. And so, you know, I didn't even realize it coming up that my mom had given me such a gift that now provides for my family. It's just amazing.
I didn't want to get into your mother right away, but she is the foundation that is Molly B. So I feel like we just need to go ahead and put out what the Deborah Tone, Deborah Bonner foundation, like what everything is about, because your mom's legendary.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Like, it's not like, oh no, my mom. It's like, no, if your mom was Gladys Knight, you wouldn't even not say it when you first started talking. Like, no, my mom's Gladys Knight, and then I came. So in your own respect, your mom, Gladys Knight, is a product of the things that, because your mom learned from who Gladys Knight learned from.
Seth Riggs. My mom took for years from Seth Riggs, and he taught everybody great back in the day, you know?
Right.
Voice to Men, Whitney Houston, Michael Jackson, and whatever else. Like, my mom would go into her lesson, and Michael Jackson just finished his. You know, it was that type of thing. So she really took pride in learning about the voice and taking from the best. And, you know, I think there's six of us now, like six of the eight children who now also teach voice.
Wow.
You know, and it's like... it's just something that we know. I don't even know how to describe it. It's just as simply as we know how to walk and talk at the same time. When I hear someone speak, I know what's going on in their voice, and it's because of her.
I think that's amazing. So your teaching ability and something that your mother created was Debrettone.
Yes.
So tell me about Debrettone and talk to me like I have no idea because I don't.
Okay.
What you're talking about.
Well, I mean, basically, if you can speak, you can sing is basically the bottom line. And she, her method teaches people to be able to bring out whatever their natural tone is and make it the healthiest and best version of that.
Hmm.
And, you know, what I witnessed, you know, coming up was that there were people that came in who needed surgery, you know, on their voice because they had damaged it and for whatever reasons, and she would work them through their voice and not have to have surgery. Or someone who was tone deaf, like can't hit a note, you play a note and they can't sing it. Within a couple months, they're singing, you know. And so it basically allows someone to find their natural voice and then maximize it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can dig that because... I know that I'm one of those people that's like, I can't sing, but I grew up in a church too, so it's like, make a joyful noise.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I'm happy. I sound like
a crow.
So I definitely appreciate the fact that it's like, oh no, you can sing. You just have to find your sound.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's important, especially in the musical industry, because I feel like there's a sound that people want to hear.
Yeah.
But at the same time, everybody wants to find, oh, you don't sound different.
Mm-hmm.
But different ain't selling until different sells. And
right.
I think finding what different is inside of a person is what makes a star, right?
Right.
And I've heard your mother sing and Angelic. I was like,
beautiful.
I can't believe she was teaching. She could have been a own star in her right. She was amazing.
No, and you're right. And she could have, but, you know, like
that's
I said,
her heart
eight children. I mean, when she started having children at a young age, and for a woman, especially back then, she didn't feel like she could do both, you know, so she chose family.
Right.
And so there were opportunities that she had and whatnot, and, you know, but she put that focus into her children. And, you know, because she put so much focus into her children, you know, we just beat the statistic of, you know, what... out of eight black children,
I mean,
shouldn't be seven of them that have master's degrees. And it's just, you know, it's just incredible what she has done. And now, I don't know, now I'm able to kind of take my little piece of the pie that she gave me and elaborate on that and kind of take my own path. You
so
know?
let's talk about Molly B, because you say you came to L.A. and you being an artist started working with other artists.
Yes.
And then what kind of happened from there?
Well, I mean... you know, work gets work in LA, you know, and the circles are small. And so when I started working with other artists, managers, production companies, labels, they then would pass my information on to others. So if they saw me make a breakthrough or develop their artists, then they would just pass my number on. And so I just began working with, you know, some no names and nothing comings to then it was became like the bigger stars, you know?
Like Ariana Grande, Fergie.
Exactly.
Platinum selling. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So, and this is something I had a conversation about earlier because I'm not a singer.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that in today's industry, it almost seems like everybody wants the next hit.
Yeah.
And it's not in music in general. It's in all industries. Mm. Everybody, it's this YouTube era that we all want this 60-second fame. Like,
yeah.
We want the next viral video,
right.
Whatever that looks like for me.
Right.
And very rarely do you find somebody who just wants to perfect their craft and be great.
Right.
Whatever, however long that takes.
Right.
And so that person is who seeks you out. It's not somebody who wants to be a singer. Mm. This is what I would say. I was like, people who want to be singers, don't look for you. Mm. People who want to perfect their craft, look for you. You're very sought out, but from a very particular type of person.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that's important to say, because it's not like, well, obviously, you're very popular in your sector, so it's not like a lot of people can afford you in general. But as a whole, I'm willing to give everything I have in an effort to work with you because I want to be great, is who looks for you.
Let me tell you something. Like, okay. So I do work with, like, you know, like the A-list pop stars, the big stars, right?
You do.
But my passion is to work with just someone who wants to be the best they can be. That's right. Where my passion is. And so I found it was frustrating for me because I met so many people that wanted to take from me, but they couldn't afford to, and I couldn't afford to allocate that time for someone that couldn't afford it.
Exactly.
You know, so I started this nonprofit. And so, okay, great. So now I'm able to work with some kids and youth that they can get the same training that somebody rich or somebody famous can have. So I loved that. But the other side of the coin is I don't do discounts for anybody because I want someone to feel the worth of what they're doing.
Exactly.
You know, so I will literally, I have a couple clients who get a job just for the lessons. And that just tells me they're serious. Not because, hey, I want the money. It's because if they're willing to go get a job to pay for the lessons, then we're working.
And you feel, and I can totally agree, because your time is valuable, but you want it to be valued.
For them.
Right. Because at the end of the day, when all said is done, you have to produce something.
Yeah.
You don't want people running around saying that they went to Molly B to learn and they haven't learned anything.
Right, right.
Because they didn't get anything. But if I put enough money into it,
are you going to care a whole lot more?
I'm taking notes.
Yeah.
I'm taking notes because I've invested anything I have, everything I've had. I made a way for this to happen because it's about the long run.
Yeah.
And that's important. And I feel like you providing that is bigger than most things. But you have so much going on besides teaching people.
Yeah.
And it's just not about music for you. I know that you teach voice just in general.
Yeah.
So even outside of your teaching and the voice, you're also an artist.
Yeah.
Also a producer. Mm. Like, you do so much. So tell me about your artistry, like your career as an artist.
Well, I mean, the thing is, I mean, me as an artist, so it's more artistry. Like, when you said artistry, it's more that. Like, I'm an artist, meaning I do express through creating. I personally don't like to be in the front. I don't like to be on camera. I don't like to be seen. I don't like to be hurt. Like, really, I love seeing somebody else rise to their full potential and me be a part of that journey. But right now in my career, it's kind of evolved into like film and whatnot, because I realized that if you're creative in one way, a lot of times it transcends into other departments of entertainment. And so that's what's happening now.
Tell me about film. How's that been?
It's been fantastic. I didn't realize that I had a passion in it or that I had a skill set in it. But at the end of the day, if you can write a 3-minute song, you know, because for me, you know, songwriting was a big part of my career.
Right.
And now to take that story I'm trying to tell in 3 minutes, and now I have 90 minutes to tell it. Okay, now I got time.
You got time.
Yeah, yeah. Now I can really tell the story. You know, so it just made sense. And so for me, you know, this last year, I wrote 3 screenplays. And it seems like a lot to someone, but for me, it was writing that screenplay was just, I could write it as fast as I could type it.
Wow.
Because I'm just telling a story that I normally have to compile into 3 minutes.
So you're talking about, so I know you just, what's the latest film you have?
So right now I'm editing Green Flake, and we're going to begin shooting the 3rd film, which is Ajara, and that's going to be in February.
Okay, yeah. Green Flake and Ajara.
Yeah.
Are you acting?
No, no. So similarly, like...
I do not like to be in the front.
Exactly. But it's the same thing. Working with artists, singers, it's very similar to actors.
Wow.
Because for me, because I work with also Spanish artists and helping them work on their English albums, right? And so I'll have a Spanish artist like Noelia or Prince Royce, who I worked with to help them work on their English albums.
Uh-huh.
So if there's accents in my film, this is something that I'm familiar with, and just helping someone with their accents.
Right.
And then getting the actors to be believable in their roles, believability, that's the it factor. And I work on that with artist development. You know, the it factor is those intangibles, whether it's believable, likable, and whether it's unique.
All right. You teach it right now. You about to give up some time. Y'all better be taking notes out there. This is free 99. So let's talk about Green Flake. Green Flake. Yeah. So explain what type of film Green Flake is.
So Green Flake is a historical film about an African-American slave that was a member of the Mormon church, and which is like, wait, what? Mormons had slaves back then? Like, yeah. Mm. And so I just did this history work on this man.
Right.
Because with most of films that have to do with African-Americans and slavery, a lot of times the success that we have in the film, the hero, is them becoming free. And that's the end. Like, that was the thing they accomplished, was attaining their freedom. And I personally didn't like that, because there's a lot more to them besides getting their freedom
from
their slave owner.
Talk to me.
And so with this man, Green Flake, what he did as a teenager was lead over 70,000 people across America. And it was the largest pioneer migration in American history.
Wow.
And nobody knows about him.
Nobody knows about him.
Right.
And
so for this teenager to lead these people across country, his story needs to be told. Yes, he did attain his freedom, but what did he do as a slave as well? It's just the story that needs to come out. So I'm doing that right now.
That's dope. Yeah, I'm super excited.
It's exciting.
What was it filmed at?
So this was filmed in Utah.
Okay.
Yeah, Utah. It was Fort Buenaventura. So it's like a reserved piece of land that's been there since 1847. Hmm. And so everything is just period. You know, the buildings that were built, the clothes, the everything we used was from that time period, which made it very difficult, but it just kept it very authentic.
What was the weather?
Freezing.
I know, I saw it.
Oh my God. I didn't know cold like that. Like, I literally thought I was going to die. You know, I really did. I was like, well, Lord, I mean, I hope somebody else see it before I die. But yeah, it was cold.
I tell people all the time, because I have like real bad anemia, so I'm always cold. I'm like, no, but we are tropical people. Like, that is where I'm supposed to be. I lose, like, myself.
Yes.
I understand.
Yes.
But
when you think about, though, the African-American slave 150, 200 years ago, without shoes, like, okay, I guess I can handle it. Because I got my kicks on, I got my wool socks on. Like, I think I can take it. Knowing what they had and still working sun up to sun down, you know, is doable.
That's crazy.
Right?
I'm super excited about this.
And
more than anything, just the story.
Yeah.
The story is so important.
Yeah.
So many stories lost in our culture. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So I love that. And you talked about the Mormon. And I know that they have kind of been a driving force in everything Team Bond.
Yeah, I know.
They love you.
I know.
The LSD
we're like
church
the poster
is like,
child
right? They're like, what are y'all doing? A song? Oh, we want it. Can we get on that? We got a new movie. Can we get that song?
Yes.
So I just think that's amazing. How does that work?
I mean, it's really odd.
Really?
It's odd, you know, but it's incredible. Like, I personally like to follow the beat of my own drum. And that's kind of what we're doing as a family. Because there really isn't another African-American family. It's the member of the Church of Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints, you know, the Mormon Church. There's not. And that's kind of just, by itself, it's kind of asinine to even try to understand it. But that is where we have been led. And that's our story. And it's unique. And if nothing else, I just hope that everybody finds out whatever their truth is, whatever their true voice is, and do that. Because when we talk about, like you were saying earlier, the YouTubers and everybody wanting their little piece of fame and whatnot, same thing with the voice, finding your natural sound is finding out who you are. That's what's attractive to everybody else. It's the truth in who you are.
Right. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. That's the authenticity.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what it's about.
Mm.
So the whole Church of Latter-day Saints, and you produce, and you came up with the song, I Am Here. Is that your...
Well, yeah.
You composed that?
I arranged
you wrote that?
Yeah.
Okay, so
I arranged that.
I think that's dope. So as you as a producer, what does that look like? Molly B, the producer.
Well, listen, I'm no Nate Impact. You know, I don't know. You know, but
is this guy?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's one of my boys. He's a great, you know, producer out here in L.A. But, you know, I arrange. And so produce meaning, you know, I'm not a producer, like I said, like Impact. But what I do is bring the right people around me for the job.
Okay.
So it's that type of production. Like, what I believe is you just have to find the best people for the job and put them around you. And not necessarily means that I have to do everything. You know, so even though I did arrange it. Yeah. Even though I did arrange it, you know, it took a village.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I know that, and we've kind of touched on it a little bit, just about your celebrity status and what you do. Mm-hmm. How do you feel you came about that? Do you think it's just, I've been doing this since I was a child. There was no other option. Like, but it's, I know people have been doing things since they were children.
Yes.
But people don't seek them out.
Yes.
For greatness. How do you deal with that level of fame and people like, oh yeah, you work with Boyz II Men, I need your help? Or how did you work with Boyz II Men? How did that even kind of happen for you?
Well, I think what keeps my phone ringing, because I don't have a manager or an agent that's like, hey, Hustlin' to book me. Mm-hmm. It is just referrals and the phone keeps ringing, thank God.
Right.
And I think the reason is I care about the artist. And I just feel like you have to be honest with them. You know, there was an artist that I work with, and I won't say the name, but they had a Billboard performance. And it was the day before they had to perform on Billboard. And so I was flown in to work with them, make sure they were ready. And I worked with them, and they were not ready.
Wow.
They weren't ready. And I thought, you can't go out there. When everybody else, they just surrounded by yes men, you know? And everybody's like, yes, go, do it, do it, do it. And I told them, if they do it, I think it's going to hurt their career because I can't sign off saying that they can handle it vocally. And of course, I got heat from the label or whoever else. But at the end of the day, if they can trust you to be honest with what they're asking you to do, I feel like that's what served me, you know? And so, yeah, I think that's what separates me from other vocal coaches that are extremely talented. But if the artist or the famous person can trust me to be honest with them and protect them and their voice, which is so sensitive to all of us, our voice, then that's what's most important.
Okay, I like that.
Volunteering to help people in need is a noble gesture. Volunteering to lay down your life for your country is a sacrifice that can never be repaid. In an effort to keep my fellow veterans connected to society and each other, this is VetNet.
Did you know women veterans are 2 times more likely to develop PTSD than men? This alarming statistic and personal experience compelled Tanya and Sherelle into action. Familiar with trauma as combat veterans themselves and inequity as African American women, they founded the Vet Space, a nonprofit organization that is committed to supporting the wellness of women veterans. Tanya and Sherelle have over 40 years of combined experience and training that is necessary to provide A-plus service to women veterans associated with post-traumatic stress disorder, military sexual trauma, and other traumatic experiences. The Vet Space provides support that increases veteran productivity while reducing their feelings of isolation and helps them thrive. Through mindful techniques such as yoga and meditation, they reduce the symptoms of stress that women veterans experience, thereby increasing their sense of well-being and purpose. To know more about the Vet Space, all you have to do is go to thevetspace.com. That's the, like beginning of every sentence, vet, like where you take your fur babies when they're sick, and space, as in out of this world.com to know more. Thevetspace.com. Thank you so much to the Vet Space for putting military families and veterans first. Veterans, let's stay connected.
I'm going to ask you something now. This is just tea being nosy because
yes.
I'm gossipy. But I'm just curious.
Yes.
Because I feel like a lot of people who are famous and famous, but aren't great singers.
Yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
But then they obviously they have the resources to be able to find Molly B and go, hey, work with him.
Yes.
Kind of thing. And yes. It's like, how do you deal with, like, how are you? Because you're an entertainer.
Yes.
But you're not. You can't sing. And that's something that, to be fair, like even Mary J had to go to singing lessons.
Yes.
She's like, she can't sing.
Right.
But she was an entertainer first, so people loved her. But then, of course, after she kind of fell a little bit, she had to get back on the horse. And she was very vocal about the fact that I got to go to singing lessons.
Right.
Like, I don't know how to do it anymore.
Right.
And I'm just curious how you deal with, I can't believe you have number one. songs on the show. You can't sing.
No, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Because there's a place for everybody. It's not the best singer wins. That's just not the music industry.
Right.
The best singer gets to be the background singer. That's the way it works.
That's crazy.
So it's really the person that you believe they are who they say they are. That's it.
And that's your job.
That's it. A lot of times labels will reach out to me and say, hey, we like this artist. Can you just check them out? And it's just my job to figure out whether they can handle it. Not if they're great.
Right.
Can they get the job done? Because what they like about them is that they're believable. You know, they're honest. You trust them. When they sing and tell the story, you believe it.
Right.
There's so many big artists that are not very good, but for whatever reason, we just love them.
We just love them.
Yeah. And so I do not feel any kind of way with working with an artist that is halfway tone deaf and super famous.
Right.
You know, and then somebody else that can sing circles around them because they are special for a reason.
Right. Yeah. I was just talking about that. I was like, I love Cardi B. I don't think she can rap. But I love her.
Right.
I love her because she's honest.
Yeah, that's it.
She's just who she is.
That's like, it.
She is 100.
Yeah.
And as a woman, big up. Right? What else can I say? Like, you're doing what you want to do, and you're yourself doing it.
Right.
And I might not be comfortable with that being myself, but you're comfortable with that being your. And I love that.
Right.
I give props to that.
You can't knock that.
It's different from somebody else trying to become Cardi B.
Right.
To be Cardi B.
Right.
No, that's not you, baby girl. Right. Like, you a conscious rapper. Don't do that.
Come on.
You don't even sound good.
Come on.
So I definitely can commend you on what you do because you seem so honest about doing it. And it's like, it's not about for you, may the best man win. It's like, everybody gets to win. It's up to you how you do it.
Right.
I'll give you all the tools necessary. It's up to you. Like, I'm not going to make you a star, but I can make you an amazing singer.
Right.
I can make you an amazing singer. Ugh.
Right.
10,001.
Right. And literally, those are the statistics right there.
Are you
like,
serious?
No, it really is. So it's like, if you're in it to be famous, then, oh, that's a lifetime of heartache.
Right.
But if you're in it to grow and be the best you can be, cool. And make sure you have a side hustle. That's just the truth of it.
You can be Instagram famous.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
Your
exactly.
voice is going to rock. Okay, so we talked about Greenleaf, and you said that you have more films coming.
Yes.
What is the next move in the film industry for you?
Yes.
Because I feel like you've just scratched the surface.
I have, like, but man... my nails are—it's down to the bone.
Really?
I'm scratching so hard, like it. So this next film is Ajara, and I wrote this screenplay about 2 months ago. But you know, I just personally don't like to waste time. Not that, or take time. I shouldn't say waste time. I don't like to take time to do things the right way. I like to do things my way.
Okay.
And my way is fast. And so in this last couple months. We just got the funding done. We just solidified the crew and the location and everything. We're going to be shooting in February. And I know typically, you know, you write the script and maybe a year later you're hustling to raise money and whatever else. But I got to say to anybody else that is striving to be a filmmaker, do it your way.
Right.
However fast or slow that is, do it that way. Because if I listened to the people who I was asking and getting advice from, I never would have made my first film.
Wow.
Because the way they did it was not the best way for me to do it.
Right. So you've delved so deeply into the music industry. How difficult? Because I feel like you maneuver easily.
Yeah.
Through the music industry, and I'm not saying easily. Like I'm just you. How difficult is it in the film industry for you?
Honestly, don't know. I can't tell yet.
Really?
Yeah. Because this is what I've realized is that people get on board with people who are moving.
Mm.
If they believe that you're actually going to do what you say you're going to do. Then they get on board. If you believe me when I tell you I'm making this movie and I would love to have you be a part of it, and you believe I'm making it,
right.
You'd be like, hey, yo, okay, talk to my agent. Let's make it happen. I'm trying to get on this film.
Right.
If you believe I'm moving.
Hmm.
And so right now, I'm just in the process of moving my film in the direction I needed to go, and people are coming on board.
Really?
So I haven't hit those obstacles yet.
You haven't had, like, casting issues?
No, not yet.
That's awesome.
Not yet. I'm sure my obstacles are to come, but... In these beginning stages, as long as I keep moving in the direction I need to move, then I realize that people jump on because everybody wants to be a part of something.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think film and music are so different. How are you coping with the differences in film as far as, like, producing and making it all happen. It just seems like, because you said earlier, like you're good at resourcing and composing things.
Yeah.
But you have vision.
Yeah.
When it comes to film, and I think that's different than sound, because now you talked about, it's not that I don't have to put so much in such a small portion.
Yeah.
But now you have to create the vision that you imagine would come out of what the song was going to be. But everybody sees it different, but it's different with film. Like, now I have to see whatever you see.
Right.
And how difficult is that to, like, bring your vision to the big screen?
Right.
Because it looks good, you know, in my 5x4 head.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's hit and miss. Sometimes you get on set and you're shooting something, and the way I saw it in my head and the way I heard it, it's very different.
Right.
So you have to be malleable. You have to be able to adjust to each situation in real time.
That's difficult.
Oh, yeah, it is. And for me, I know that I'm wearing a lot of hats right now with the film, like writing, directing, producing, whatever else. And that's the difficult part.
Right.
But as I'm moving forward, it is what I've learned for me is getting people around you that believe in you, you know, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they're your best friends or they're your cheerleader or, but if they believe in what you're doing, then you can plug them in. Great. Cause they're going to work hard cause they believe in the project. And so that's right now been the biggest thing for me so that I can take off my producer's hat and say, okay, this guy can step in and continue pulling in the pieces to move it forward. And, you know, yeah.
I'm excited about Greenleaf, Ajara. What is Ajara about?
So Ajara is a horror film. Yeah, which is very different. So it's Ajara is a film about these young kids who have been friends forever. And, you know, one of the kids pulls down one of these type of Ouija board type games. They play it. One of the kids gets spooked pretty bad, and it kind of haunts them for the next 15 years. And so 15 years later, they reunite after one of them loses their life, and they decide, you know, for this kid, Mikey, we have to do all we can to figure out, get to the bottom of it, what happened to him.
Right.
And so they go off into Ajara, and so Ajara is in the Republic of Georgia. That's a country over by Turkey and Armenia, over by the Black Sea, and that's where we're going to be shooting the film.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so they'll be journeying through the mountains of Ajara, and then it's just beautiful out there. We have temples that have been there for over 1,000 years. The history there is just beautiful, and so the locations is what's gonna bring this film to life. So it is a horror film, which is so different from the first, but I think that's what I love about it.
I think that'll be dope.
Yeah.
So just to reiterate, Ajara is gonna be filmed in Georgia, not Atlanta.
Yeah, exactly.
This is by Turkey.
Yeah.
I've actually been to Turkey. It's really beautiful out there.
Right?
I didn't get to go to Georgia, though. But that's so funny. I'm excited. I think the dynamic of your productions are going to be interesting to see as you as a filmmaker and me as an audience to see you do those two different dynamics and what that looks like.
Yeah.
It's kind of nerve-wracking, I think.
Oh, it is. It is. And listen, like, I'm a scaredy cat in movies. So I'm like, so people are like, you're making a horror film? I'm like, yeah, it's going to be really scary. They're like, probably not, because you get scared at everything.
Right.
So, you know, so it's definitely going to be fun trying it out.
That's going to be interesting, especially with you talking about the dynamic of having to work one spot. Because, like, you're going all the way across seas with this cast to film this thing.
Yes.
And it's like, you're going to have to move quickly.
Yes.
Like, oh, that's not how that was. So I think that's going to be super interesting. So before we get out of here, Molly, I want you to talk to the people and let them know exactly where they can find everything that we've discussed, everything about Molly B, from your Greenleaf project to the new project that you're doing, to just if I have the ability to get a vocal coach, everything that is Molly B. Just let us know where we can get in touch with you. How can we find you?
Yeah, well, the most important thing I'm doing right now is the first film, which is Green Flake. Similar to Greenleaf, but Green Flake. And so greenflakemovie.com. That's where you can go and kind of check out some teasers and clips and whatever else. And, you know, MollyB.com, that's where you can kind of get to know me a little bit. And if you drop me an email or something like that and let me know that you heard this podcast, then maybe that'll be the first discount I do.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys, that's Molly, MAULIB.com. Thank you. Thank you so much. We're super excited. Again, I'm so grateful that you took the time to come out. I know your time is precious, and I'm just super grateful to have a rock star like you in the studio just to do talk about the Paradigm Shift Convo. So I definitely want to give you the aw shift as you continue to shift the industry in film and music, and I'm ever so grateful. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate it.
Back in the day, wooden soapboxes were used as platforms for orators to speak to the masses. And now, these speakers are known as slammers, spoken word artists, poets, exposing divisive culture and their souls 3 minutes at a time. And this segment is my modern-day wooden platform. So listen carefully as a new artist takes the stage and I bring you today's 90-second soapbox.
Hey, y'all. I am Queen E, and this is a snippet from my piece entitled King. Did you know that this world has been misleading? Did you know that you do not deserve to die in the streets, left there cold, left there bleeding? Did you know that you are not a thug? You are not a villain. You are not some bad guy like they said from that helicopter in the sky when you had your hands held high, yet and still you die? But did you know that you are not who they say that you are? You are not a weapon of mass destruction. You are not this image that the world has constructed. You are our fathers. You are our husbands. You are our sons. You are our brothers. So right now, right here, we're going to disregard who they say that you are. And I'll ask you, do you know who you are? Do you know who you were born to be? Well, listen up, brothers. Let me tell you who and what I see. I see royalty. And not that you come from royalty, not who your ancestors were, but that you, yes, you are royalty. You were born with something special within. You, my brother, are a king amongst men. So hold your head high, king. Proudly wear your crown. And know that I love you with a love that knows no bounds, because you are truly a king amongst men. I am Queen E, and when she speaks, you listen. You can follow me on Instagram at Queen E Speaks. That's Q-U-E-E-N-E. S-P-E-A-K-S, or on Facebook under my government name, Erica Garrett. That's E-R-I-C-A-G-A-R-R-E-T-T. Again, I am Queen E, and when she speaks, you listen.
So this concludes another episode of the Paradigm Shift Convo. We are here every single Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific and 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For everything Simply Tea and to get previews to upcoming shows, visit simplyteepoetry.com. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you. This is your girl, Simply Tea, Double E Poetry. Y'all know what to do. Get at me.